Well, we turn now in God's Word once again to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34. Last week we considered this same chapter, and from it we considered verses 1 to 16. We've now extended our reading up to 24, so the main part we will be in tonight will be verses 17 to 24, but we'll read from the beginning of the chapter. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves, and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand, and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out of the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of your water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder, and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. Amen. Well, tonight we continue our studies in Ezekiel chapter 34, where we are considering the theme of the Lord our Shepherd. Ezekiel receives and delivers this prophecy during the period of Israel's exile in Babylon. And having been led captive out of their land, and having heard news that Jerusalem and the temple have been destroyed, the people of Israel now receive a word of hope from the Lord. So far, Ezekiel's prophecy has been a rather negative message for Israel concerning God's judgment upon them and upon the surrounding nations for their sin and waywardness. But now, in chapter 34, the Lord declares that he will act for the good of his people. The great and almighty God of heaven and earth, he will personally come down and be the shepherd of his sheep. But in verses 1 to 10 of our chapter, he first deals with the false shepherds of Israel. Those kings and governors who were given positions of privilege and responsibility, but who used it to their own advantage rather than to faithfully serve the Lord's people. And then after listing all the things that they neglected to do, he then, in verses 11 to 16, contrasts these bad shepherds with himself. And he declares that he will do all these things for his people that they should have done. He will rescue them. He will gather them. He will bring them into their own land. He will feed them in good pasture. He will make them lie down. He will be their shepherd. He will seek the lost. He will bring back the strayed. He will bind up the injured. He will strengthen the weak. We saw last week how he's the shepherd who seeks. He will come. He seeks the lost. He seeks out his people in order to do all this for them. And we see the first fulfillment of this in history, in the period after the 70-year exile, where God works providentially to bring back his people, to bring them back into their own land. And so in time that happened, King Cyrus of Persia, he issued a decree that allowed the Jews to go back into their land. And so the Lord raised up under-shepherds to lead the exiles in return. And so men like Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, Ezra, they went back, and Jerusalem and the temple were rebuilt. So the Lord sought his sheep and brought them back into their own land. But these verses have that fulfillment in history, but they're also pointing forward to someone else. Someone who would come as God and dwell among his sheep. And of course, he has come. God has come to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has declared himself to be the ultimate fulfillment of this passage. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the good shepherd who goes out to find that stray sheep and to carry them back. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And having died for them on the cross of Calvary to take away their sin, he now lives and reigns in them and shepherds them by his Holy Spirit. And throughout history, we see that this great shepherd, he goes forth and he builds his church and gathers his sheep to himself. And because of his death on the cross, there is now forgiveness of sin and peace with God for his people. There is now salvation and eternal life for all who will call upon his name and come to him. So make sure you do that. Come to him and live, because there is life in no other. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Come to him and come to him into his fold. Come and feed on those green pastures. Come and lie down in them. Come and drink from those streams of living water and never go thirsty again. Come and know the one true living God and have eternal life in Jesus' name. He builds his church. He leads and guides his people. And now we come to the next part of our passage tonight, verses 17 to 24. But notice how first, at the end of verse 16, the tone completely changes. After describing how he'll help the weak, the Lord goes on to declare exactly what he will do to the fat and the strong. There will be another type of feeding. He will feed them in justice, he says. It's important to understand that the Lord's work of restoration is always very much mingled with judgment. Our God is abundant in mercy, but he never compromises his perfect standard of justice. And so there will be destruction for those whose actions prove that they are not really his sheep. And he declares judgment upon those who have oppressed his sheep. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus says, "Whoever is not for me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters." The Lord's loving care towards his people will always mean that righteousness and justice will prevail in the end. Judgment on his enemies always accompanies the restoration of his people. Look at the book of Revelation. There's restoration in that, isn't there? The new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. But there's also judgment, the lake of fire. And so now in verse 17, he goes on to address the flock. He's dealt with the leaders. He has judged them. And now he makes it clear that he will judge every individual of the flock as well. And so here, we see the Lord not only purging the flock of bad leadership, as he's done in verses 1 to 10, but now he goes on to purge it of bad members as well. Now the people who in this part of Ezekiel's prophecy was immediately addressed to were the rich among Israel. He's dealt with the kings and the governors. Now he moves on to the rich and the wealthy. This is like you've had kings, governors. Now this is the next class of people that he's going to address. They were well off. Now, of course, they're not being judged for their wealth. Absolutely not. The Lord's displeasure comes because of the way in which they have oppressed the poor. In verses 18 and 19, we see that they kept all the good pasture to themselves. They muddied the waters. They brought no comfort or relief to the poor. In verse 21, we see that they were troublesome towards the second week. They knew there would be no opposition. They took full advantage. They added affliction to the afflicted. But the Lord sees all that happens to his people. He sees everything. And he remembers. In verse 22, he says, "I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep." He again promises to rescue the oppressed. He will judge between sheep and sheep. Some, by their actions, will prove themselves not to be true sheep of the Lord's flock. The powerful and the prosperous citizens that were greedily taken for themselves, he promises to judge them. In Luke chapter 1, when Mary sings her Magnificat, it says, "He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." Now you can see what hope and comfort that would bring to the people of Israel, those who were poor, those who were starving, those who were oppressed. Here comes a prophet to them, declaring that the Lord will rescue them. God sees the affliction of his people. God delivers them. And God judges the oppressors. This part of the chapter absolutely affirms the justice of God and brings a word of comfort to those who are in bondage. The Lord sees all that happens to his flock. He knows how they have been treated. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, it says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Of course he will. Of course he will. In the days of the exile in Israel, the Lord shows that he knows who his true sheep are and who aren't. And that's still the same in his church today. He knows who his people are. And his people know how they ought to live. and as the Lord's flock today, these verses also prevent a challenge for us in terms of our Christian conduct. There were those in Ezekiel's day who oppressed their fellow Israelites. You can see that clearly, what they did. But the question for us is, how do we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we have and do we display a care and a concern for others above ourselves? Do we have that servant heart of Christ? Are we doing good to one another spiritually? Or are we like these bad sheep who are treading the pasture and muddying the waters? These verses are no doubt a foreshadowing of Jesus' parable about the sheep and the goats. He is the judge of all the earth, and he will call his people to account for how we have served them. The church will always have true and false professors of faith. And one of the marks of true faith in Christ, is that concern for self goes. You see here, verses 1 to 10, the false shepherds, it's all about self. You see here, these bad sheep, treading the good pasture, muddying the waters, thrusting with the shoulder, thrusting at the weak. It's all about self, isn't it? But when you come to know the Lord Jesus, to see all that he gave up to come to this earth and to die on a cross for you, you cannot be left with any concern for self. Look what he gave up. And so as you become consumed with Christ, you become taken up with serving his people. These false believers, they were only concerned with themselves. But the true believer, the true sheep of the Lord's flock, deals gently with the weaker brother. And so, tonight we've seen that he is the shepherd who seeks. But when he has his flock, he is also the shepherd who separates. And these words aren't easy. And they shouldn't be leaving us with doubt or a lack of assurance or a concern. They are a challenge to us. They are a warning to us, absolutely, about how we're living our lives, how we're treating the Lord's people. If we truly know Christ, we read these words, we should think, no, I'm not going to be like that. And it should spur us on to good works and to serving one another faithfully. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, of course, these works don't save us. Doing these works don't then make us the Lord's sheep. But they show whether you have been saved by faith. Faith without works is dead. You are saved by coming to Christ and trusting in Christ. And your works show whether you have done that or not. And that doesn't mean perfection. Absolutely not. We'll never achieve that in this life. Doesn't mean we'll perfectly treat one another in this life. Absolutely not. But there should be that evidence of the new birth developing. There should be evidence of regeneration, a change of heart, outward works that prove that there's been a change inwardly. And so the Lord addresses tonight how his flock go about living with one another in these good pastures. How do we live alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ? Rather than being those who cause problems for one another, who muddy the waters, who tread the pasture. There should be a love, there should be a concern for one another, to see them drink from those clear waters, to see them eat from that rich pasture, to see them grow and be built up in Christ. We should want that for each other, and I'm sure we do, but it's good just to be challenged by it again, that should be our concern, to build one another up in Christ Jesus. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness." And so, a sure sign that you are truly in the fold of Jesus Christ is that you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not perfect by any means, neither are you, neither am I. But there's a love there, and there's a desire to see one another come on, that together as a flock we go forward following our good shepherd. So my friends, let your light shine before men so that all may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And spur one another on to good works as well. That's what the Lord wants for us as his people, as his sheep, that we go on in these pastures together. And then in verses 23 and 24, he's addressed his sheep now and gets back to the shepherd. It's always good. Yes, there's always has to be the challenge of what we can do for our shepherd. But is it not wonderful? The Lord always takes us back to what the shepherd has done for his sheep. And so now we see such a clear picture given to us of our Lord. Verse 23, "And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken." So the Lord God will be the shepherd to his people. And he'll do it through his servant David. Because one who is God will come as a man and will lead his people. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. God shepherds his people through his Son. And unlike these false shepherds, he shall do the will of God perfectly. Everything he did in his life, he obeyed the Father's will, and he delighted in the Father's will and obeying the law. In the temptation in the wilderness, he did not sin. He had no concern for himself, but only for what the word of the Lord said. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will done, be done, but yours," he said to his Father. And through him, his sheep will be rescued. Through him, his sheep will be judged as well. See, he has gone to the cross to rescue his sheep. He has died for them. He has been raised again. And he lives at the right hand of his Father in heaven, where he ever intercedes for his sheep, for his people. And he is coming again to judge the living and the dead. So, my friends, delight in your shepherd. Delight in all he has done for you and seek to emulate his example. Verse 23, he says, "And I will set up over them one shepherd." There is only one shepherd. And what's the implications of that? There's only one flock. One shepherd. One flock. There's only one church. One church with one king and head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he does when he gathers his sheep. He's gathering them all into just one fold with one head. In Ezekiel's day, when this was written, the nation of Israel had split. You had the northern kingdom, you had the southern kingdom, you had Israel and you had Judah. But no, now there's one flock. The exiles will be brought back together. It will be one nation. Jew and Gentile. You see that in the New Testament. We saw it this morning in Antioch as well. We'll come together. That's what the Lord does in his work of redemption. He saves his people, but he unites his people as well. We come together to be the one body of Christ. Israel, Judah, reunited. Jew and Gentile, united again. The church today? Well, we've got a bit of work to do, don't we? Yeah. Can you see why, then, the Lord spent time telling us how to conduct ourselves as his sheep. This is why you don't tread the pasture. This is why you look out for your brothers and sisters in Christ. For unity. For unity, because when that is there, when that godly living is there, and none of this stuff is there, that's what happens. There's unity. Where I live back home, there's lots of fields nearby, and I often go out for walks in them. And I was going past a fence one day, and there was a field of cows, and they all wanted to see me. And so they all came bounding up to me, up to the fence, and they just weren't looking where they were going. They were stumbling over one another, treading on one another, barging in and out of one another's way, all trying to get to me, no concern for one another. And that's sometimes a picture of the church as well. I'm sure sheep just do the same. But is that not a picture of the church? That there's so much individual concern that there's no sideway glance to see how we can help those around us. So my friends, let's not be like that. Let's have a concern for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that will show, there's fruit that show that we truly belong to him. He cares for his sheep. We should care for his sheep as well, shouldn't we? So that's how far we've come in our chapter so far. We have seen the Lord address the bad shepherds in verses 1 to 10. And then he goes on with the wonderful promise that he will seek out his sheep. We saw that last week, the shepherd who seeks. And then we see tonight the shepherd who separates as well. That he loves his sheep dearly. And he sees how they're treated. He sees how we're treated. And he sees how we treat others as well. And so may we go forth and live Christ-like and display Christ to our brothers and sisters. He's the shepherd who separates as well. But here we see right at the end this promise that he will come in his servant David and he will reign. And so next week we shall consider the shepherd who saves. So my friends, go forth tonight in love and build one another up in Christ. And lead one another on into these good pastures and by these streams of living water. And let us glorify God together in love for one another. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that as we travel through this life, you have not left us on our own, but rather you have given us the good shepherd, your one and only son. He has come, he has laid down his life for us. And now we may follow him all the days of our lives and into eternity, where we will dwell with him forever. And we thank you that by your word and by your Holy Spirit, you lead us on, you guide us to those everlasting pastures. So Father, please go before us tonight and help us to live godly lives with a concern for one another. Help us to love your people as you love them and to serve them in a sacrificial way. So go before us this night and be glorified in our lives. We ask these things in the name of our one true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.